Hello and welcome to this episode of Saber Speaks, our podcast in Sartell St. Stephen Schools to help the community learn about all kinds of things happening here in our school community. My name is Tom Lee. I'm the interim superintendent and your host for this episode. And today we have two guests to help us talk about a project that is going on, is going to be very exciting out at our high school called the Pollinator Project. And so I will let our guests introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Annabelle Taugis. I'm a senior at the high school.
Hi, my name is Dale. I work for the school grounds department.
Okay, let's begin. Annabelle, tell us a little bit about the Pollinator Project. What are we trying to do? How did we come to this conclusion? And so on.
Yeah, for sure. So it was a project that I kind of headed. I'm the head of our sustainability club at the high school, and our sustainability club is the group that decided to take up this project. We kind of noticed that our campus was a lot of grass, and we saw an opportunity to make our campus more sustainable and an educational and environmental opportunity. So we decided to take some of the more not used pieces of land in our school that were kind of harder to maintain due to like terrain variations and stuff. And we decided to get grant funding to fund a project where we're going to plant pollinator flowers, which are flowers that help with the habitat for like butterflies and bees and a lot of like native species in our area.
Super cool. And so, Dale, Annabelle talked about the areas that aren't really used that much. What kind of areas are we talking about here?
These are the areas that are already not mowed, like our drainage ditches, our settling ponds, the riparian zone around the irrigation ponds, as well as low to no traffic areas like the boulevards along 35th Street North, as well as 55th Avenue.
Okay, so we're going to basically take kind of those kind of are a little bit of eyesores, really. Honestly, they're not real pretty to look at right now, right?
We're going to save a lot on irrigation, and the wildflowers will look great after a couple years.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yep. And now, are we getting any community support for this? Did you apply for grants, or how are we getting the money to do this?
Yeah, for sure. So our club met with Stearns County Water and Soil Conservation District. They've been super, super helpful throughout this, and they're actually how we secured a grant funding project where they are going to cover 75% of the costs of the project. So that means the labor that we have to contract out and all of the planting of the flowers, they'll cover 75% of that. So we were in charge of covering the other 25%, and we received a lot of community support from that. A really big help was the Stearns County chapter of Pheasants Forever, who donated a really large sum of money to help us be able to make this project a reality. We also had help from the St. Stephen Sportsman Club and Profields, which is the group that, or the business that helps maintain a lot of our athletic fields as well. And
yep,
they decided to donate some labor, no cost to us, so free. So that was super helpful as well.
So the entire cost of the project's covered right now.
Yep.
Variety of different sources.
Great.
And how did you guys come up with the idea of doing this particular project?
Yeah, so Joe Schulte is a teacher at our school, and he actually came to our club saying that they had originally talked about it at the beginning of planting the school, but it would just never really became a reality. And we noticed a couple other schools in the area, like Tech High School has some pollinators, and North in St. Cloud also did some pollinator projects, and it's been pretty successful for them. And we wanted to kind of replicate that on our campus and just kind of scale it up a little bit more and make it a bigger project.
Super cool. So, well, let me get a little bit more background on the sustainability club. How many kids, and are they all seniors? Is there a mix? Tell us more about the sustainability club.
Yeah, so we actually started last year, but we've kind of had green and environmental clubs that have been kind of like on and off. Some with few members, some with a lot of members, but this and last year we did a lot of recruiting, and so we do have a pretty fair number of seniors that have helped a lot with this project, so it's kind of nice to be able to leave our legacy. But we do have a lot of younger kids that have really been taking on a lot of work and coming up with a lot of ideas lately that are going to kind of keep the club and have a lot of new and exciting projects that we're going to be able to do in the years to come. So cool. That's super cool.
So is there like 5 to 10 kids, 10 to 15 kids? How many would you estimate?
So I would say we have like 15 to 20 kids that attend the meetings like regularly every Monday. But there are a lot of kids that are in our GroupMe, which is like our messaging app that kind of pop in every once in a while. And there's a lot of kids that are interested that just can't make that time that we schedule our meetings. So I would say overall we probably have 30 to 40 kids that are just interested and somewhat involved with the club, but there's 15 to 20 kids that are really active and at every single meeting.
Cool. Dale, you're part of the grounds crew. How,
I am.
What's this going to do to impact our grounds crew? What's it going to do to the overall facility as far as adding some aesthetic value?
You're going to beautify your space by having a variety of wildflowers, which is great. The greater variety of types of wildflowers is going to also increase your pollinator diversity, and that's really important. Wildflowers that bloom in the spring, the summer, and the late fall is important to help pollinators survive the whole season. Mm-hmm. And pollinators boost our economy because they help with our agricultural crops, as well as pollinate our wildflowers.
Yep.
It's going to decrease our need to irrigate some of our irrigated areas, as well as we're only going to have to mow them once a year. And that's going to save a lot of time on the workforce as well.
Right. So there's an economic benefit for the schools. Right?
Oh, for sure.
So it's not just a beautification piece. It's an economic and it's an environmental piece, right? Because as you pointed out, we need pollinators to in our ag programs, right? And so in our ag around our areas. So bees, right?
Oh, big time. In Minnesota, we have over 500 species of bees. Mm-hmm. That's a huge diversity. Bumblebees alone, we have over half the species in all of North America residing in Minnesota, which is very exciting. You can print off a free color identification guide through the University of Minnesota Extension of all bumblebees in Minnesota. And we actually, in the Sartell area, have the only endangered bumblebee in the United States.
Really?
Currently, the rusty patch bumblebee. So you can plan on seeing that around on the wildflowers around the school.
That would be super cool because we're actually then participating in trying to rebuild that population, right?
Oh, big time.
Right, because we're giving a place to pollinate and active and be active. That's awesome. Tell us more about that app again.
So you can find the Minnesota Bumblebees Identification Guide online through the University of Minnesota Extension. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of bees out there. There's a lot of beneficial butterflies and beetles. And if you're wondering how to identify them, there's actually a free app called iNaturalist. And you can just snap a picture and anything from amoebas to deer and from algae to tall trees, it can identify it all. And it's beneficial for conservationists to use that submitted data to see as a whole the health of our ecosystem.
That's super cool. So I would have to go online to the U, or where would I find it?
So for the Minnesota Bumblebee Identification Guide, yep, you can go online for the University of Minnesota Extension. But for any smartphone, or there's a website called iNaturalist.com, or you could download it from your app store on your phone.
Very cool.
For free, yep.
Very cool. Thanks for that. And we have some kind of activity coming up now.
Yeah, so there's a lot more that we can learn about the benefits of pollinators and how our school and community are going to benefit from them. So our Sustainability Club is hosting a community event on May 19th from 3 to 5 p.m. where everybody from all ages are welcome. And we're going to talk about the project, how we got to where we were, and all the benefits of pollinator species. And you'll also be able to talk to a lot of the members of the club and other major players that were involved with the project.
But there's something about plant plugs or plants or something.
Yeah, we're also going to have the opportunity to plant plugs. Those are flowers that are plants that have already started to grow. Mm-hmm. Just because the first year, a lot of plants are just in kind of making their roots, so you're not really going to see a lot come up off the ground. But that's important to them to be able to be strong and healthy for years to come. But So we are planting plugs, which have already been growing over the winter in a greenhouse, that everybody will have the opportunity to plant some, and those will give our pollinator the most visible spots some like curb appeal and aesthetic appeal while we kind of wait for the other plants to kind of start to bloom and flower.
Sure. Is there anything we have to do to prep the grounds so that the pollinator project can really take off?
We will be getting rid of the lawnscape where mowed lawns are, just to be able to get a head start for the seeds, as well as removing Siberian elm, which is that kind of shrubby elm thing you see popping up here and there, as well as invasive buckthorn. And that is going to give the prairie a huge head start to take hold.
Well, I got to ask you, because you seem to have more than a little knowledge about all the different kinds of plant species and other things. You know, sometimes people think, well, I'm on the grounds crew, which means I cut lawns. Where did you get all this knowledge?
The high school that I went to was big on conservation as well. And it's all about being educated on the importance of pollinators.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Where'd you go to high school?
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, boy, are we learning the same kind of stuff here, Annabelle?
I mean, we definitely do have some awesome classes. My environmental science class was a big help to me starting this project. And hopefully this pollinator project will allow more of our classes and even our younger schools to have the opportunity to learn about conservation matters and environments like this pollinator one that we're making.
Students will be able to walk right out the front door and be able to see the diversity and everything that is benefiting.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, some of the drainage ditches that we're going to be digging up, do we have, like, stuff in there that we got to kill off first, or...?
There's actually some native plants that are already starting to take hold.
Okay.
This project is going to help increase the diversity of those wildflowers.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So there's really not a whole lot of stuff that we have to do in prep, really? Or
not too much. Okay. A little bit of surface tilling, some plugging, and some seeding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Ryan Dayak is, there are a couple areas with the mowed lawn that we need to spray with herbicide or glyphosate, and he's at the Brian Dash from Pro Fields, and he's going to be doing that all pro bono. So our grounds crew won't have to take that on. He'll be donating that labor.
And what kind of ongoing maintenance will have to occur with these with the pollinator project?
So we will maintain to keep the Siberian elm and the buckthorn, because that's always going to be coming in through birds.
Yep.
And other animals, as well as the mowing once a year to not only mow down to give the plants a head start every spring, but also to disperse the seeds that they create for free every year.
Sure.
To create healthier prairies. And then every 3 to 5 years, we will discuss a prescribed burn in various areas to help keep the health of a prairie.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Really interesting. Well, is there anything else that we need our listening audience to know about?
I would just say the biggest thing is our community day on May 19th from 3 to 5 p.m. We're super excited to be able to show off everything that's done and educate people about all the possibilities of pollinators and giving people the hands-on experience of planting some plugs.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to ask, what is a pollinator?
Yeah, a pollinator is any plant. These are native pollinators, so ones that are native to Minnesota, and they're plants that are really good habitat for bees and butterflies and lots of different types of bugs. That they're plants that bees kind of need them to, they take the pollen and they can spread it the plants need the pollinators to help them, and it's a mutualistic relationship, so the plants need the pollinators to continue growing, and the pollinators need the plants for food. So
yep, it's kind of a really cool cycle, isn't it?
Yep.
And so if I'm a grandparent and I want to come see my kid at some outdoor activity, should I be worried about getting stung by bees?
No, they are always concentrating on the flowers.
Yeah.
They couldn't care less about the people.
Yeah. Well, how about if I'm a neighbor? If I'm a neighbor and am I going to have a lot more bees in my yard?
This pollinators in general are great for people who like gardening, because you're going to have a higher pollination and fertilization rate of your gardens and your tomatoes and your zucchinis.
Yep. Do we know of any beekeepers in the area?
There are beekeepers right on Pinecone, you bet.
Yep. Well, yep. Because I know, because members of my family have various allergies. And then if you get your honey grown locally, it helps you build a tolerance for the allergies that exist locally, right? Because every area is a little different based on whatever kinds of plants are in those areas, right?
That is true, yes.
Right, and so it's like, that's another side benefit. So for those who do keep bees, and for those who do have allergies here in Sartell, St. Stephen, it's like, get your honey locally, folks.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, okay, anything else that we should be talking about? Great. I'm super excited about this. For no other reason, it just seems like it's so student-driven, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about this, actually, I think the first month or two that I was on the job, I heard about this project. And so, you know, we were talking about where's it going to go, and there were some times like, well, we're going to put it here. No, we're going to put it here. And now we've kind of landed, and I'm excited to get it going and to see the planting starts and come back a year or two and see the beautification, what's happened. It will take a couple years, won't it?
Yep. It won't really start to have the big showy flowers and blooms that you expect for 2 to 3 years. But I'm super proud of, like you said, everyone from the club and all the students that have worked really, really hard to make this a reality over the last year. And it's a really cool way to kind of leave the school as a senior.
Yep. And actually, I remember the group coming to the school board and doing a little presentation on that, and the school board was like all supportive of it. So, well, congratulations on pushing it and getting the sights down. Thank you for both of you for all of the effort that you are putting in, have put in, and will be putting in to make this pollinator project a reality and to make sure that it sustains itself into the future, right? Mm-hmm. And so it'll be fun for you to come back maybe when you graduate from college. What are your plans for next year?
Yeah, I'm going to Notre Dame in Indiana, and I'm majoring in environmental science, so pretty fitting.
Notre Dame, that's not an easy school to get into, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, well, I'm sure you'll be around, right, Dale?
Yes, I will.
Okay, well, with that, thank you for joining us for this episode of Saber Speaks. And, again, we continue to churn out podcasts for the remainder of this year, so we invite you all to listen to various episodes. And again, thank you for listening today. I'm Tom Lee saying goodbye.
Thank you.